Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today is the third day of our literature unit. We're talking about the novel Wuthering Heights that was published back in, 1847? And it was written by the English novelist Emily Bronte, but unfortunately that was her only book. That's all we heard from her, and she was from the Bronte family, a family of artists and writers who all died pretty much young, so that's kind of tragic as well, but we are focusing on Wuthering Heights, and today we're going to be talking about some of the themes and ideas in Wuthering Heights.
Yeah, so what do you think that Emily was trying to say with this book? You know, there's the plot, but then there's actually the meaning behind what the characters say and do, so we're going to take a look at that. First, though, we're going to read through today's lesson. By far, the most prevalent theme in Wuthering Heights centers on the novel's two main love affairs.The first between Catherine and Heathcliff, and the second between young Catherine and Hareton. Catherine and Heathcliff's love for each other is not only passionate, but also disastrous. Their refusal to adapt to life without each other creates chaos and tears everyone around them apart. Conversely, young Catherine and Hareton despise each other at first,But over time, their feelings for each other evolve. This growth leads to a happier existence for everyone, as it restores order on the estates. Bronte may be suggesting that in order to live in harmony with one another, we must recognize our differences and learn to accept them. Another theme focuses on the significance of social class. One's status in society was very important in the 18th century.And being considered lower class was embarrassing. Catherine's decision to marry Edgar Linton in order to secure a higher status is the most obvious example of this. Bronte indicates that the turmoil this marriage caused may not have been worth the humiliation Catherine meant to avoid. The author herself spurned society's demands for women to marry, choosing to remain in her childhood home,where she was ultimately happiest. Nature versus nurture makes up the novel's third theme. The Earnshaw family members at Wuthering Heights symbolize the wildness of the natural world. On the other hand, the Lintons at Thrushcross Grange represent the culture and refinement that comes from a more nurtured society. Bronte pits the two against each other, but in the end,Neither side gains control. This emphasizes the idea that nature and nurture go hand in hand, and that we must accept one with the other.
Okay, as promised, we're going to talk about some of the themes in Wuthering Heights, a story of passion and cruelty. So by far, the most prevalent theme in Wuthering Heights centers on the novel's two main love affairs,The first between Catherine and Heathcliff, and the second between young Catherine and Hareton. So try to keep those Catherines straight here. There's the mother, Catherine, and then there's Catherine Jr. I don't think they actually use that word for girls.
No.
They did for boys, but for girls, it's just the younger Catherine.
We could call her Little Catherine.
Okay, Big Catherine and Little Catherine,
right,
Catherine Senior and Catherine Junior, I don't know, but in any case, the first term here is by far. So if you're talking about the difference between something and something else, you can say by far, but you could say like, what's the best team in the NFL? Well, by far, it's the New England Patriots. No other team can beat them. They win every time. As an example, I haven't been watching the NFL this year, so I don't really know who the best team is, but that's just an example. So yes, usually if something is the first one, and number two is way down the list, then you say this by far. He's by far the best basketball player in the school. Nobody can compete with him. So by far, the most prevalent theme, the most common theme in this book is those two love affairs.
Yeah, so it's... They do take up very important parts of the book. So prevalent, again, you just see it a lot. I would say that the rise of convenience stores was, or convenience stores are quite prevalent in Taipei, actually all over Taiwan. So we've got these two main love affairs. There are other characters involved in this story, though. But let's take a look at this. Catherine and Heathcliff's love for each other is not only passionate, but also disastrous. Now, we talked about passion in our earlier unit when we were talking about the plot. If you're passionate, you have very strong feelings. It doesn't necessarily have to be love. It could be a hate for someone or something you have to do. But usually if someone's very passionate, they're not quiet about their feelings. They're very strong. It's obvious how they feel about something. Here, we're using those strong feelings to talk about feelings that you have towards another person. And that passion can turn to hate as well. So if it's disastrous, it's just a mess. And you can see that because of Catherine and Heathcliff's love for each other, it causes problems in a lot of different lives throughout the novel. Why? Well, they both refuse to adapt to a life without each other. So their refusal just means they say no to something. If you adapt to something, you change so that you better fit a situation. I've adapted to life in Taiwan pretty well. Some foreigners never do, and they continue just to hang out with foreigners and maybe eat food from their own country. Maybe they tend to avoid Taiwanese food, which is delicious, I must say. Yeah, but I've adapted to life here. But they refuse, these two characters have refused to adapt to life without each other, and this creates chaos, which is just a mess. If there's chaos somewhere, there's no order. Things happen without planning. It's a mess. And it also tears everyone around them apart. If you tear people apart, it means you break up some sort of relationship they have with each other.
Exactly. So they just couldn't let it go after they moved on without each other. Yeah. They just should have moved on with their lives. Well, that's the way the ball bounces. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. So let's just move on with our lives. But they couldn't do that. They couldn't adapt to life without each other. So there was chaos, which is, of course, a situation in which it's totally confusing and we can't make heads or tails out of anything. And it tears them all apart. They separate in rough and violent ways. Mm. They probably have big fights and throw things at each other and try to steal each other's money. And they probably let the air out of each other's tires and things like that, do nasty things. And conversely, young Catherine and Hareton despise each other at first, but over time, their feelings for each other evolve. So, again, we're talking about Catherine and Hareton. Remember, Catherine did not end up with Heathcliff. She said, well, you're a nice guy. We've got passion for each other and stuff. But, hey, this Hareton guy, he's got class. He's got money. And that's who I should go with. But, you know, girls, you can like a guy who's got a lot of money, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to love the guy. So, in this particular case, they despise each other at first. So, she probably despises him because she doesn't really love him, and she probably blames him for that. And he probably despises her because she just wanted to marry him for his money or something like that. So for whatever reasons, they despise each other. And here, despise is just a fancy way of saying that you really hate someone. You feel contempt toward that person. You just can't stand to be near that person. It makes your skin crawl.
Ooh. Despise is much stronger than dislike. We use despise instead of hate, but they're kind of at an equal level. Oh, but I love the word despise because it sounds more hateful than hate. Oh, I hate him. I despise him. Yeah. But that often happens when people first meet each other. Maybe there's a lot of attraction there, but you're fighting it. You don't want to like him for some reason, but then things change. Things evolve over time. If things evolve over time, things change slowly, and their feelings for each other evolve over time. This growth, this change, leads to a happier existence for everyone. Why? Because it restores order on the estates. These estates we're talking about, of course, are Thrushcross Grange and Wuthering Heights. Now, if you restore something, you put something back the way it used to be. We use restore when we're talking about, for example, maybe you have an old painting and it's getting older and you've asked an artist to come in and restore. So that artist will use paint to maybe change or fill in where some of the paint is missing. You can restore a home. Maybe it's very old, but it's falling apart. Somebody comes in and makes it look like it's new and how it probably looked like when it was first built. But here we're talking about a relationship. Maybe a broken relationship is restored because one of the people in the relationship decides to apologize and say, I'm sorry. So it fixes or brings that relationship back to its original quality, you could say. So the estates here refer to those beautiful manors. We've been talking about Wuthering Heights and Thrushcross Grange, which also have a lot of property.
Okay, so order is restored, things are back to normal, and Bronte may be suggesting that in order to live in harmony with one another, we must recognize our differences and learn to accept them. So yes, we want to live in harmony with one another. Harmony means things get along together. This is usually a musical term in which two or more notes sound good together. They blend together. They're different notes, but they sound good together. They are in harmony. And we can use this to apply to life as well. We want to live in harmony. Yeah, we're different and there are things about each other that we don't like, but still we can accept those differences and learn to accept each other.
We're going to go ahead and look at the second paragraph after the break. So first, we're going to listen to some wise words from our Chinese teacher, then we'll be back.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是文学单元 Unit 15 的第三天课程。在今天的课程中，我们将会了解小说作者 Emily Bronte 想要在 Wuthering Heights 中所要探讨的主题。文章的第一段提到小说主要以故事里的两段恋情来发展。第一段恋情是 Catherine 和 Heathcliff。我们看到这一段的第三句 Their refusal to adapt to life without each other creates chaos and tears everyone around them apart. 他们拒绝适应没有彼此的生活，造成了混乱，也使他们身边的人痛苦。动词 adapt 有适应、改编的意思。片语 adapt to something 就是指适应某事物。例如 ,the transfer student is having difficulty adapting to his new school. 这位转学生适应新学校有困难。另外有几个字的拼法和 adapt 相似，但词性和字义都不相同。例如动词 adopt 是采用、收养的意思。adopt, A-D-O-P-T. The committee members didn't adopt my proposal because they believe it will cost too much money. 委员会成员们不采用我的提议，因为他们相信这会花费太多钱。另外还有 adapt, A-D-E-P-T.Adapt 是形容词，意思是熟练的。片语 be adept at 加名词或 ving 就是指擅长某事物。例如 My coworker is adept at dealing with customer complaints. 我的同事擅长处理顾客的抱怨。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.We're back, guys. We're talking about some of the themes, the ideas that Emily Bronte perhaps was trying to communicate. When you do analysis of literature, sometimes we're trying to guess what the author was trying to communicate. And these are some of the guesses that people have come up with because Emily didn't write anywhere, you know, what she wanted to have people interpret as a theme. So we're just trying to understand kind of what what themes or ideas, were within this book? We talked about learning to get along with people that are different from us, living in peace and harmony. Right now, we're going to move on to the second paragraph. So another theme focuses on the significance or the importance of social class. This was in England. The book is set in England where they still have social classes. In America, as long as you can get some education and make a lot of money, you move into an upper class. But in England, especially back then, you had to be born into an upper class. You could never just make money and move into an upper class. It was very difficult for lower classes and higher classes to socialize and get together.
Indeed. Okay, so that's another theme of this book, the significance of social class. It means a lot. I don't really know if there's any class structure here in Taiwan. Maybe the only difference I see here is just the difference between rich people and poor people.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is in the United States. But you've got social classes in India, for example. You've got social classes, at least you did, in England in the past. You probably still do to a certain extent. But yes, this is...The significance of social class. Significance is a noun here. It just refers to how important something is, how worthy of attention something is, how much attention we should pay to this sort of thing. Mm. So, yes, it's significant. It's something we need to pay attention to. We can't ignore it. So this is the significance of social class. It means a lot. You can't ignore it.
Right. So, and we learned that because of Heathcliff's background, he was a poor orphan boy who was adopted. You know, it would have been hard for Catherine and Heathcliff to get together. Catherine, of course, was wanting to raise her social standing. She's already in a social class that's higher than Heathcliff, but I think she made the wrong decision. I think she should have married Heathcliff. But back then, social status was everything. So your status in society was very important. And being in a lower class was kind of embarrassing. So Catherine's decision to marry Edgar...who was kind of he wasn't my favorite person, and he eventually became an alcoholic.
Oh, no.
She wanted to secure or make sure her higher status, and that was the only way women had to, you know, move from one level of social class to another was to marry someone who had social standing and money. Of course, she needed money as well. We use secure when we're making something firm, right? Maybe a typhoon is coming and you want to secure your building or maybe some trees outside. You want to make sure they're more secure. You want to fasten them or fix them. You want to keep them from moving if you...refer to having a social class that's secure. It just means you can hold on to it. You won't lose it.
Right. So she wants to secure a higher status by marrying Edgar Linton. That's the most obvious example of this in the book of marrying up, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because Catherine is from that one estate. Which is the better one? Wuthering Heights, that's the inferior one, or that's the superior one? I get them mixed up.
Wuthering Heights was Heathcliff. So she's trying to move into that social class with the Linton. So the Edgar Linton lived in Thrushcross Grange.
Okay. Thrushcross Grange.
That's hard to say.
Is the higher class one. Wuthering Heights is kind of where the savage animals live.
Well, at least Heathcliff, right?
Symbolically. Yeah. At least Heathcliff only, right? Yeah. I guess the rest of them would probably not agree with my assessment In any case, yes, she wants to marry up. She wants to marry Edgar Linton and secure that higher status to make sure she has that higher status.
To obtain it. You can also say obtain or gain. Yeah.
Make sure she has that higher status. Bronte indicates that the turmoil this marriage caused may not have been worth the humiliation Catherine meant to avoid. So basically Bronte is saying that, yeah, was it worth it for her to marry this guy? Is it that easy to marry up if you're from, say, a lower social class and you want to marry a rich guy from a higher class? You think it's going to be that easy? No, there's going to be turmoil there because there's going to be differences of opinion on different kinds of stuff and how to deal with the in-laws and all that sort of stuff. So there was turmoil, which means conflict. conflict, disturbance, confusion, a lot of problems, basically. So it caused a lot of problems. Was it worth that humiliation? And humiliation is the situation in which you're ashamed and you feel foolish because you've done something embarrassing and everybody saw it and you feel, oh, I'm so humiliated. That happened in front of 1,000 people and everybody saw it and I'm just so humiliated. So humiliation is the noun and to feel humiliated is how you describe how you feel.
And of course, the most popular phrase here in Asia is to lose face. So marrying Edgar really didn't solve any problems. It made everything worse. And so she's thinking, well, maybe I should have just ended up with Heathcliff, you know, even though there would be some humiliation involved. The author herself, or Emily Bronte, spurned society's demands for women to marry. None of the girls got married in her family. If you spurn something, you reject it. You say, no, you know, I'm going to do what I want. And so she said, you know, even though women are supposed to marry, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to just settle down with somebody that I don't absolutely love. So she chose to remain in her childhood home where she was ultimately happiest. Remember, she didn't like to socialize. She liked to go outside and just wander around the moors on her own where she was happy. So moving on to the third paragraph, nature versus nurture makes up the novel's third theme. So nature is kind of what you were born with, right? Nurture is your environment that you're surrounded by. How does it influence you? So that's kind of the third theme of the novel. To make up something means that's what it's composed of. That's what it's about. So nature versus nurture.
Right. So the Earnshaw family members at Wuthering Heights symbolize the wildness of the natural world. So that's nature there, the members of the Earnshaw family at Wuthering Heights. They symbolize nature here. To symbolize means they represent that, the wildness of the natural world. On the other hand, the Lintons at Thrushcross Grange.
Thrushcross Grange.
Everybody, that's horribly difficult even for a native speaker
totally,
to pronounce.
Yeah.
I think people in England probably have no problems with it, but the people there represent the culture and refinement that comes from a more nurtured society. So there's nurture there. Your background, your education, all that kind of stuff, your class, your social status, that's nurture. And when you have all those sorts of things, you have refinement. Refinement is when you take something and you make it even better, and you try to make it perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's almost as if they're saying the Wuthering Heights folks, they're kind of, you know, wild. They're not cultured. They're not sophisticated. But the people who live at Thrushcross are very sophisticated because they have more education and culture, things like that. So you're kind of pitting two groups against each other. Remember, we're saying nature versus nurture. Anytime you use that versus, it's almost like you're in some sort of competition or contest. We'll often use it when we talk about sports. You know, it's the Red Sox versus the Yankees. Someone's got to win if you're in some sort of competition or contest. And if you pit someone against somebody else, you're forcing them into an environment where they feel like only one side can win, right? Not both sides come out winners. So Bronte actually pits the one estate, Wuthering Heights, against the other, Thrushcross Grange. But in the end, we find out that neither side wins. They're both losers. They both end up with a lot of sadness because they can't get along or they can't, you know, have harmony and peace between them.
Yeah, they didn't really have a lot of counseling back in those days. If they just went to see a counselor and talked about their problems, everything should have worked out. But that's not the way it was back then.
No.
But in any case, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. You can use this information yourselves when you read the novel. We hope you do. But before we say goodbye, we'd like to hear once again from our Chinese teacher.
文章的第二段提到, 小说所要探讨的另一个主题就是 social class, 社会阶级。 我们看到这一段的第三句 Catherine's decision to marry Edgar Linton in order to secure a higher status is the most obvious example of this. 凯瑟琳决定嫁给艾德格·林顿 以获得较高的地位是最显著的例子。Secure 在本句是做动词用，意思是获得、得到。Secure 当动词时还有使安全。片语 secure something against something 就是保护什么、免于什么的意思。例如 The government is attempting to secure the citizens against terrorist attacks. 政府正试图要保护市民免于恐怖分子的攻击。另外 secure 当动词时还有关紧、弄牢的意思。例如 The last employee to leave the office should secure all the windows and doors. 最后一个离开办公室的员工要关紧所有的门窗。我们接着看第二段的第四句。Bronte indicates that the turmoil this marriage caused may not have been worth the humiliation Catherine meant to avoid. 布朗特指出这场婚姻造成的骚动也许不值得凯瑟琳本来想避免的羞辱。形容词 worth 有值得的的意思。常见的用法有 be worth 加名词或 ving。 例如 The novel is definitely worth reading. 这本小说绝对值得读。另外 it is worth 加 ving 意思是值得做某事，相当于 it is worth one's while 加 ving 或 to 加原形动词。例如 it is worth taking a trip to that tropical island， 去那个热带小岛旅行是值得的，就相当于 it is worth your while taking a trip to that tropical island。 最后如果我们说某事物 is worth it， 就是指某事物是值得的。例如 Learning English is not easy, but it is worth it. 学英文不容易，但是值得的。文章的最后一段提到小说中也探讨天性和教养的主题。我们看到最后一段的第一句 Nature versus Nurture makes up the novel's third theme. 天性对上教养构成了小说的第三个主题。在本句中，片语 A make up B 是 A 组成 B 的意思。例如 Five professional dancers make up the dance contest judges panel. 五位专业的舞者组成这场舞蹈比赛的评审团。Make up 也可以用被动语态来表示，但意思会有所不同。A be made up of B, 意思是 A 由 B 组成，相当于 A be composed of B. Compose, C-O-M-P-O-S-E.或是 A consist of B, consist, C-O-N-S-I-S-T. 例如刚刚那一句我们也可以改成 The dance contest's judges panel is made up of five professional dancers. 以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
That's it for today. Thank you for joining us in our program. And hey, New Year's Day is coming up here in just a couple of days, so we wish you a happy new year from all of us. And hey, if you have some vacation time, check out this novel, Wuthering Heights. You will certainly enjoy it. Hey, I might check it out myself. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.